Abraham came from a messed up background. And listen, if you come from a messed up background, God has a plan for you.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear from Pastor Brian Grant a message taken from the life experiences of Abraham, the so-called father of faith. In this message, Pastor Grant will show how a bad background does not necessarily limit one's potential when the Lord is in the picture. He will also show how God led Abram from half-hearted faith to world-changing faith in the matter of Isaac and the faith triumph on Mount Moriah. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant brings the first part of God's World Changers, Part 1.
The Smiths were very proud of their family history. For after their ancestors arrived in America on the Mayflower, their family tree had included senators, governors, mayors, Wall Street wizards, and even a few pastors. They recently decided to compile a family history. And after hiring a well-known author, they asked this author how were they going to handle the story of great Uncle George who had been executed in the electric chair. Well, the author told them, listen, don't worry, I know exactly how to handle the story of great Uncle George. And so when the book was finished, you can imagine every family member quickly turned to the section about great Uncle George who was executed in the electric chair to see how did this author deal with this shame on the family. Well, as they turned to the section on Uncle George, here's how it read. George Smith occupied a chair of applied electronics at an important government institution. He was attached to his position by the strongest of ties, and his death came as a real shock. Well, thank you, sir. Well, unlike this hypothetical family, most of us came from families that may not have made much impact on American history. But my friends, neither our family history nor our past history need define us. For our omnipotent God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Amen. And He can turn around. Come on now. Our God can turn around our insignificant start and make us into one of His world changers. That's what we're talking about this morning. God's world changers. Abraham is a good example of the amazing power of God. And so today, as we discuss this theme, as I said, we start speaking about God's world changers, I'd like to share with you four lessons we can learn from Abraham's life. Here's the first thing I'd like to add to your notes. God's world changers all come from a messed up background. Am I right about that? God's world changers all come from a messed up background. Meet me here in Joshua chapter 24, verse number 2. Joshua 24, verse number 2. As the Word of God tells us a little bit about Abraham's background, Abraham and his daddy. And it says, "And Joshua said to all the people, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river, where he was serving other gods, led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his descendants, and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob, to Esau I gave the mountains of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Also I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to what I did among them. Afterward, I brought you out. Abraham came from a messed up background. And listen, if you come from a messed up background, God has a plan for you. Don't let that make you think God does not have a plan for your life. Amen? Both Abraham and his family were idol worshippers who served idols rather than the living and true God. But despite his messed up start, God chose him, changed him, and made this idol worshipper a man of honor. Amen? Today, Abraham is one of the greatest world changers in history. Did you know that he's esteemed not just by Christians and by Jews, but he's also esteemed by Muslims? Did you know that? Abraham is esteemed as one of the world's greatest men. Every day, God is still transforming messed up people. And that's why it's such a privilege to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because this gospel is the life transforming message of God that can change. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to bring change to even the most messed up person. Because of their ancestry, some people are regarded by society as people of honor. You know, you've met people like that, and sometimes if they're not careful, they're a little bit snotty. They act like they're really something special, not remembering that they put on their trousers the same way that the rest of us do. Amen? But my friend, although your ancestry may be helpful on earth, what will be eternally important is not where you came from, but where you're going. And let me ask you, do you know where you're going as you watch this program on the internet? Do you know where you're going? If you had died yesterday, are you sure you would be in heaven with the Lord right now? That's the question everyone needs to answer. If you had died yesterday, are you sure you'd be with the Lord right now? I told you that before I did a funeral here some years ago, and the mom called me later that evening and she wanted to know, Pastor, did my son go to heaven? He was only 25 years old when he died. I said, I can't really help you with that answer. I don't know. But what I do know, if he wasn't prepared to die the day before or the moment he died, there ain't nothing we can do about it now. But listen, young person, older person, do you know when you are where you're going? Are you prepared to meet God? Is Jesus Christ your Savior and your Lord? Have you invited Him into your heart and into your life? I urge you to make sure. For write this down. For regardless of what we've done, God is willing. Oh, I'm so thankful that it doesn't matter. Our history doesn't matter. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ washes clean no matter how messed up we are. Amen. Regardless of what we've done, God is willing to save us and transform our lives when we repent and submit to the Lordship of Christ. Amen. And so that man on the cross who was being murdered with the Lord Jesus for sins he had committed, he was able to say in his last moments, remember me. Amen. Remember me. And Jesus is able to save you. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25 tells us, therefore he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. What a thrill it is to be a preacher of the gospel. I praise God every day that not only can I preach this word, but that God saved my life. Just when I was a little boy, Jesus saved me. But let's move on. You know, I've met people who refuse to believe they're sinners. I hope you're not one of those. The problem, though, is some of us admit we are sinners, but we don't do anything about it. What good is it to know you're a sinner and not come to the Savior? And if you're here this morning, and if you're listening this morning, and you know that you're a sinner, you're willing to acknowledge you're a sinner, then come to the Savior and cling to Him. Because with God there is mercy and abundant pardon. Amen. Come to Jesus. And we pray that there's some who will do that this morning. Listen, God's world changes all come from a messed up background. But listen, the only people God will save, the only people God will not save is the person who thinks they're good enough. The only person God will not save is the person who thinks they're good enough to make it on their own. But I thank God there's never a sinner so far from God, but Jesus can't bring him home. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, I'm going to give you an invitation at the end of the service. And I trust that this morning you will stop putting it off. And this morning you will say, Lord Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. And I'm going to invite you to come into my heart and into my life and to change me by your mighty power. First, God's world changes all come from a messed up background. But here's the second thing I want to bring to your attention. God's world changes must respond to God's call without delay. About 290 years before Abraham was born, mankind had become so wicked, God decided to send a great flood to deluge the earth. This is irrelevant to the message, but that was just for interest. I thought I'd throw this in. You know, many of us don't realize that Noah's son was still alive when Abraham was born. Okay? Sometimes we don't get the timeline. Noah's son. In fact, many believe that Noah was either alive when Abraham was born or he had just died a few years before. So the idea of what God had done in the flood, everybody knew about it. This was not some ancient history. America is about the same 290 years, some say, between the flood to Abraham's birth. America is just about that, just a little less than that. And we all know about all that's happened. Now, can you imagine if 290 years later, after a flood that had totally destroyed every human being except those in the ark and had done such disaster, do you believe people didn't know about the flood? Everybody knew about the flood. But sadly, so many people's behavior still had not changed. But 290 years before Abram was born, as I said, God had sent this flood. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. We just go back there for a minute. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5. It says here, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. A number of the young adults were at our home last night, and I tell you, even the young adults are shocked at the condition of our world today. That evil is so ingrained in our society, that so much corruption, so much incredible stuff is going on in this world. And God is not going to just sit. God acted during the time of Noah. And don't think God is. His power has not waned. His holiness has not changed. Amen. The God who of Noah's time is still the God today. So let's see what happened here. Genesis chapter 6 verse 5. God saw that the wickedness was great, and God decided to act. Verse number 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Anybody know about violence? Is there violence in the world? So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way in the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. America's founding fathers like Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin, although sometimes you hear people say they were Christians, Franklin and Thomas Jefferson were deists. Although they believe in God, they believe that once God put the universe in motion, he left it to run according to its own laws. You understand it. It's important that we get this difference, because sometimes I hear even in church, people say, oh, Jefferson, these men were Christians. Well, they were deists. They believed in God. They believed in a God who made everything, but a God who, once he made it, he walked away and just let the natural laws take over. But that's not true. For the text we just read makes it clear that God not only made the world, he's very involved in it. Amen? By the way, aren't you glad God is still involved? I'm glad I'm not worshiping a God who just started it and said, you all fend for yourselves. You all figure this out by yourself. I'm glad I have a God who, when we pray to him, he hears our prayer. Amen? Aren't you glad that God hears your prayer? So don't give up praying for that young man. Don't give up praying for your daughter. Don't give up praying for your father, your mom, the person who is not saved, because God is very involved and is still concerned about our daily lives. Pray about that job. Pray, pray, pray. But these guys believe God walked away. Now listen. God stayed involved, and as we see here in Noah's time, mankind had become so wicked, God caused an incredible flood to come. A flood that was not only caused by rain from above, but by water from below the earth. You know, as a little kid, I used to wonder, boy, that was a lot of rain. Yeah? You know, and sometimes we get the impression that it was only because of rain. I just want to just throw this in, just for your benefit as you pass by. Genesis chapter 7, verse 11, the Word of God tells us there, in the 600 years of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were open. Did you see it? There was water coming from above, and an incredible amount of water coming from the below. The fountains of the great deep were broken up. Verse 12, and the rain was on earth 40 days and 40 nights. Listen, many Bible scholars believe it had never rained before. But those who believe that it may have rained, they said, well, for sure there had never been a flood. So whether there was rain or there was no rain, the big issue, there was never a flood before. So therefore, what do you think people believe? When you hear about what God is going to do, what do you think is the natural behavior if it had never happened before? It ain't going to happen. Have you ever preached the gospel? Have you ever shared with someone about hell? And have you ever heard anyone say, oh, I don't believe that? Anybody ever heard that? Oh, I don't believe it. I don't believe it because it has never happened before. That is the real basis of everybody's decision making. It never happened before, so it's not going to happen again. And so God is warning us, if you're not saved, God's the word of God that is inerrant, it is infallible, it is always true. What God says will come to pass. And God tells us that unless we come to Christ, one day we're going to stand before God's judgment throne, and we're going to be cast in the lake of fire forever and ever. Young people, it's for real. Regardless of what the internet may say, God always tells the truth. So these people say, we can't bother paying no attention to what Noah is telling us, because we never seen no flood before. No flood is coming. But read chapter 7, verse 15. Chapter 7, verse 15. And they went into the ark. So the day came where they went into the ark. God says it's time to go into the ark. And Noah and his family went into the ark two by two. They went in the ark, took all the animals two by two, as God had said, okay? And then once they had entered, verse 16, so those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded. And what does the Bible say? And the Lord shut the door. That is a short verse that's so pregnant with meaning. God shut the door When God shuts the door, no man opens that door that God has shut. I'm sure when God shut the door and rain started, what do you think happened? Well, put yourself in the people's shoe. God shut the door. The rain started. The water started coming up. Can you imagine what was going on? Do you think people were running to the ark? You better believe people were running into the ark. Do you believe they were banging on the door? Let us in! Let us in! Here's the problem. Despite Noah's concern and compassion, there was nothing Noah could do because Noah was not the one who shut the door. And since he didn't shut the door, he could not open it. The door was shut by God. And sadly, listen, for over 75 years, some say 100 years, but for over 75 years, Noah had been building the ark and preaching to the people that they should repent of their sin and turn to God. But now God had shut the door. And there was no more hope for salvation. Their doom was sealed. You say, Pastor Brian, why are you bringing this to our attention today? Because I want you to recognize that one day God is going to happen again. There's a coming day, a time will come when those who have heard the gospel cannot be saved. You say, Pastor, are you making that up? No. Today, listen, turn with me to the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I just want to make sure you have this verse marked in your Bible. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 7. And here's what the Bible says. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. The Spirit of God is right now restraining. If you think things are bad now, my brother and sister, if you think things are bad now, things, once the Spirit of God is gone, all hell is going to break loose. The Bible says, and then the lawless one will be revealed, the Antichrist will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the work of Satan, with all power, sign, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Anyone who does not receive the love, who does not receive Christ as Savior and remains, the Bible says, they will perish because they did not receive the love of the truth. Verse 11, it says, and for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. The Spirit of God is going to blind the eyes of those who will remain, that they will believe the devil's lie. And the Bible says in verse 12, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Young person, you're only a teenager, you're a preteen, but you still do not have, you have still not come to Christ. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. I'm so glad I was only 9 years old when I came to Jesus, and what a difference he has made in my life. And I want to encourage some of you young people, some of you are very young, you're teenagers, you're preteens, come to Jesus. Put your faith in him today. Settle it. Don't run a risk with your eternal soul. Amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus. Repent of your sin and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer
and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.